greet one another. Well,
Sammy.
Yes, Miss Fanny.
I'm just letting you know it's
okay. Yes. Amen. Go ahead.
You talk about those two boys killing that man, and it was all because of drugs. You know, they could have been about out of the mercy and the grace of God. I can actually say I can praise him today and thank him for my salvation.
You understand me? It could have happened to all of us at one way or the other.
Right. We just never know. Amen. Woo!
Yes.
And y'all talked about in Sunday school, love like Christ. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why do we harbor anger. Mm-hmm. We need to love like Christ, right?
Amen.
As Brother Jeff and I were talking about on Tuesday, we talked about it's just amazing how some churches can hold grudges for about 300 years, he said. And in all that is anger. And that's not the church, the building, that's church, the people. And some things that we dislike or turn against or whatever, we'll pass it right on down to our kids.
Yep.
And they'll grow up thinking or hating the same thing.
Yep.
Today.
Or what we teach them.
Yes. Now, I'm not saying some things we don't need to turn against. That's not what I'm talking about today. We know what that anger inside is. So today we're going to take a look at it. And we're going to look at those items in detail and how it fits in the different categories that I'll outline for you of why we still do that. You see, anger is something that can bring us down. Bring us as all of us. You see, most believers know it's bad to hold a grudge, and then we turn around and do it anyway. We've all had situations that happen to us. We've had a family situation that I'm not proud to tell you about, so I'm not, but it just involved grudges. It involved dislike. It involved Things that you would never think would happen. All because of a death. You say, well, my family gets along. Well, I pray they do if something happens. You see, we acknowledge that God alone has the right to avenge wrongs. But we still, we still hold a grudge. We still go after that person or thing or whatever. They understand that the Bible teaches us to deal quickly with anger, and so why do we hang on to that destructive emotion that brings us down? It's amazing telling a story sometimes that we go right to the bad things or what we think. We lose our job. It weren't never our fault. It was the other person's fault. It was the job's fault. Something bad happens to us, we won't never say that we did it. We say it was the other person. The wreck. Oh, it were never our fault. There ain't no way. And then you get out acting a fool to the other driver that was probably doing the right thing. Oh, yeah, I saw that not too long ago. We allow it to tear us apart physically and emotionally. We let it rule our lives. We let it be the one in control and not the one that should be in control. Evil will step in and they'll take over, and if we do not train ourselves to be fit Christians, I mean that we are reading daily. We are praying daily. We have conditioned ourselves to be that Christian that doesn't fall to the little things. See, I think with enough stuff, we're all going to break a little bit because we're human. But with God's saving grace, He can help us get through that. He can help us understand that anger doesn't have to be a part of our lives. Today I'm going to take you through Proverbs. Proverbs has so many things in it. In Proverbs, I looked it up and it talked about a definition kind of like Proverbs. I wanted to see kind of what that meant. And I'm going to read to you instead of doing one verse and doing on that. I got several verses from Proverbs I want to shout out to you. So if you got your pen or pencil, you may want to write these down today. I have about 10 or so that it shines out that anger part. Proverbs is a book that has moral statements that helps teaches fundamental realities of life. Proverb means to be like. And there is only one that I want to be like. So what it's doing is teaching you how to be more like Jesus. Amen. How to be more like God. Because that was in the Old Testament. That was before Jesus. Proverbs 15. And don't tell everybody I'm preaching out of the Old Testament. Now, you know the churches today only preach out of the New Testament. So don't want to tell everybody I'm going out of the Old Testament, okay? Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. But harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:18 says, the wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger allays contention. Calms dispute is what that's meaning. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That verse, I think about Parker. He's just in that age that if you come at him strong, I might as well look at it to come right back from him. It just stirs him up inside. And that's what anybody. You can't come at someone. You got to talk. I believe that you need to talk to someone like someone to get someone to respond to you like someone. Did y'all follow that? The problem is, if you go at them with anger, you expect that answer to come back in anger.
Right.
You see, if you're slow to anger, it calms dispute. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that taketh a city." You could rule the whole city. You could be in control of everything. But if you can't rule your own spirit. Woo! Proverbs 19:11, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and is his glory to pass over a transgression." It's your will to make you slow to anger. But you can't do it without the help of God. Some people, that's just their demeanor. Some people would rather get ill at everything than to calm down. I have some customers like that, and that's all I'm going to just leave it at that. You can't do nothing to satisfy them. I have one man that comes in and he's looking for one particular item, and every time, I've ordered extra for this man, and every time it'll come in, he'll always come in when that shelf is empty and start from the time he hits the door to the time I tell him I ain't got none, and he leaves out. Finally, I got about 8 boxes for that sucker, so if he comes back in, I got him. I told him the other day when he came in, I said, "Buddy, I got 8 boxes for 72 quantity." He only gets 1 or 2 at a time. I was going to make sure I had them little, it's pupperina, little dog food is what it is. Pupperina. Him and his dog, I reckon, I don't know. Proverbs 22 says, "The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own soul." Whew. Proverbs 21:14 says, "A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back brings strong wrath." Talking behind somebody's back, huh? Proverbs 22:8 says, "He who sows iniquity shall reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger shall fail." And then my last one, in Proverbs 27:4, it says, "Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but he who is able to stand before envy." Jealousy is what that's talking about. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Wrath is cruel, and to anger is outrageous. Y'all seen it in a grocery store. And women, you ain't totally out of this one. I got to talk about you. Men and women, or women and men, get in there and they just argue the most I have ever seen in my whole life. If that's the way it was, I wouldn't care Dana was shopping with me anymore. I hear them arguing about every little old thing. And all it is one of them want to be right. George, you just need to go ahead and let her be right. I mean, I don't know why we just can't say, "Yes, honey. Yes, dear." You thought I forgot that, didn't you? Listen, I thought you were going to start something like that. I was listening to you back here. I got one of those racks to hang the robes up, so I was doing that in there, and I was listening. And you said something about the women, and my ears perked up. I said, oh, no, he's getting ready to start it right here in Sunday school again. Poor George. I was getting ready to come rescue you. I didn't know what I needed to do. Throw you a life raft or something because you were getting ready to go there again, I thought. Woo! But as we think about that, I've researched there's six basic reasons why believers fail to surrender to the anger. You see, the first one is the unwillingness to forgive can be the result of selfishness. Selfishness. Woo! When you are hurt, let's see, when you are hurt, you become concerned primarily with yourself, your rights, and your feelings, not anybody else's. Just like we talked about that letting go from a job or whatever the case may be, we need to bypass that. There is a reason why you're not there. I think that God has, if you are committed to God, I feel that God has a reason why you're not at that job anymore. I couldn't have never told you the things, y'all, I've done and had every job there is. I'm sorry. But listen, if I was to worry about that, then it would control my life. But you know what? Everywhere that I have been, God has used me for something different. Amen. You wait for the world to come to you and ask you for forgiveness. You can't let it go. You got to hold on to it. And after all, you think, again, that it's the other person's fault. I got it written down here. See, I done jumped ahead. Well, this is selfish. You know, you ought to know this because since you have the power to change, you choose not to make the first move. Woo! We all in here, we guilty. I'm stepping on my toes. You ain't going to pick up that phone and call first. And you ain't going to get in that car and go over there and talk first. There ain't no way. You're too big for that. It ain't going to happen. But what would God want us to do? Love like He did. You might be willing to forgive because of a previous attempt to do so. You might have already gone to that person before. You might have got angry with them again. You've gone to them and tried. It don't matter. Try again. Sinner don't come to Christ the first time you ask them. If you know somebody you've been trying to get to Christ, it'll take more than that once, I think. I know. That person ain't willing to let go, ain't ready to let go yet. That partier wants to still party. That adulterer still wants to do his thing. That partier is just don't want to let go. That sinner doesn't want to change. That anger that they have could even turn to you for trying to do the right thing. We have to be strong enough that we have that shield against us, that we don't allow it to penetrate us. Because the first thing I hear other people say is, I'm done. I'm not dealing with it no more. I'm not going to go over there. There ain't no way. I ain't getting in my car. I ain't going over there talking to them. I ain't picking up the phone and calling them. Next week, you're like, hey, girl, how you doing? Hey. Hey, I was just calling to check on you. Hey. How's everybody doing? And you act like since you had that conversation that everything's good. You still ain't asked for forgiveness or you still ain't said that I did wrong. We won't do it. You've even admitted the need to forgive others. You know in your heart that's what you're supposed to do. and you say, I forgive so-and-so, I forgive so-and-so, you'll never tell that person in their face. Woo. Next. Done tore that one up, didn't I? Next, we got the pride. Oh, I'm too good to do that. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Those who are conceited have difficulty forgiving. They think, if I forgive, people will think I'm weak. Ooh. Harboring anger makes us feel like we're hurting others, but guess who it's hurting? We'll worry about it more than that other person will. And you think that you're getting them back. Woo-hoo. We assume a responsibility that has given to Christ alone. He is the judge. Let him judge whether it was right or wrong. Don't break a friendship over something stupid. The Bible is very clear on who is to get even. And if you're not sure, Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. In time, those who have wounded us will pay for the penalty for their sin. Let God take care of it. He'll get them if they're doing wrong. Romans 14:10 said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set a knot for thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You need to quit worrying about what they're doing. You need to worry about yourself and know that you make it right with God. And you make it right with that person that you have wronged. There's no sense in holding that anger in. It just makes it worse and worse and worse. You worry about it more than that other person. See, we're called not to take vengeance, but to forgive. We as Christians need to be that better person. We need to be the ones that step up. But that's the hardest thing that we'll ever do. We can't ever say that we're wrong. The next thing. We refuse to forgive because they have low self-esteem. We refuse to give because we have low self-esteem. Often without reality, really understanding what has taken place, people attach their significance to the wrong they suffered. You see, have we known men and women who have lived most of their adult life in response to mistreatment by someone? Could be an unfair boss, could be a family member, could be whatever. Be a spouse that's been mistreated. They're constantly saying things like, I wouldn't be struggling if it were not for, or I could have gone far if I had not lost my job with. The unfair circumstances become a point of reference for everything else in their lives. You see, the way on the bad part. Their self-esteem has gone so low that they don't know what to do. The people feel like they cannot afford to forgive, scared they'll lose their jobs or scared they'll lose a friendship. Maybe there's something that you're helping them with, something financially or whatever, and they're afraid. They won't tell you that you're mistreating them. And the way they've lived all their lives, if they've lived on sympathy from others. Someone always reaching their hand out. There's nothing wrong with helping people. That's not what I'm saying. You may have allowed your identity to become defined by one painful circumstance, and you've allowed that to ruin your life. Church, I'm here to tell you today that the experience of joy and happiness is in Christ. Amen. And in Christ alone.
Amen.
Woo! You must forgive those who have wronged you and move on. You must pray about it and give it over to the Lord and say, you know what? I'm releasing that now. I don't need that in my life. It brings me down. Yes, we're human. We're probably going to think of it again. But you need to do the same thing.
Right.
And get those thoughts out of your head. Jesus did that very thing at Calvary. You see, they wronged the Son of God. You know, he didn't let that bother him. You know, he had a legal trial. They stabbed him. They beat him without mercy. They destroyed him physically. They lied about him. They took false witness against him. They beat him with a cat of nine nails. And they nailed him to a cross. Not just hung him there. Nailed him. They mocked him and stripped him naked before the entire world to see. To show the suffering. To show the anger that they had towards him. They wasted their heads against him. They give him vinegar to drink with gall to make when he was thirsty. Could you imagine drinking vinegar and having all those problems? I don't like to drink vinegar anyway. I can't hardly do it. I love my cucumbers with vinegar. Then I like to eat it after, drink it afterwards. I can't hardly do it. And that's all they were giving him. They even stabbed him in the side after he died. But you know what he said? After all that. After all that, he said in Luke 23:34. This said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can forgive, and having one of the worst beatings that is noted in our Bible today, and he can still forgive, you can too. Number five said it's too painful for some people to refuse to forgive. Too painful? Thinking about past wounds also often brings back those unpleasant moments. So you don't want to bring it back up. It's time you forgive. Forgiveness can be especially difficult if the wrong hurt. See, you might have already buried that inside. You might have already forgotten that inside, but it's still there. You put it aside, but you need to get rid of it. Because what you do is you bring it back. The anger inside allows you to still dig at it, allows it to still be there. It's especially true of those who are hurt as children, as they mask that pain that they received, no matter what it may be. The pain of catching a mate in an extramarital affair. You erase it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to believe it. But often that's the key to getting that freedom. You have to release it. Ain't nobody telling you what to do about your situation. I'm just telling you that God wants you to release it.
Amen.
Don't keep that anger inside. It's not going to do anything to you, but hurt you.
Right.
You know, an open wound never heals. It only gets worse. Get rid of it. Don't keep it. And then the last part here is that just you not knowing what will happen, you don't want to forgive. You're afraid of that unknown. You're afraid of the what could be. What will it do? Maybe you're at a point of saying, I'm ready. Just tell me what to do. I just need a little bit more instruction on how to forgive someone. How to forgive so I don't keep it inside of me. Well, where are you? Have you been wrong recently? Have you been going through something in your past that you just can't forget about? Where are you in this forgiveness? Have you gotten in a habit of burying painful emotion? That stuff that raises its head every time you think you've got over it, every time you think it's gone. That's the devil inside of you. Just when you're doing better in Christ, that devil will try to get his head in there. Yep. And he comes out when you least expect it. I just hope that you're a fit Christian and that you're prayed up and that you can take care of those things when you need to. Right. Our biggest problem in life is that we try to hold everything in. And we want to keep all that anger inside and we don't want to release it. We don't want to give it to the one who can. Because I know a man who can. Whew. If you answered yes to anything that I've said today, or you said, you know what, that's me. It's time you release it. It's time that you let go of it. Do not allow pride and selfishness to get in the way. Do not allow yourself the fear of that pain that you may receive stop you. Because I'll tell you, with the happiness and joy that Christ will give you, you can brush that stuff off. Just like the dandruff on your shoulder here. You can just brush it off. You ain't got to worry about that no more. You see, you may be on the verge of an awesome miracle in your life. But you got to let go of that ugliness before it can make it good. Anger is ugly. You see somebody in public doing that crazy mess. You'll be at somebody's house and they do that ugly mess. You may be the one doing that ugly mess. Think about what you feel like when you get angry. And then think about what you feel like when you're happy, when you have joy, when you have peace. Allow God to give you that peace today. Don't keep anger inside. Release it. Anger is something that can destroy your life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal your thunder, your happiness, your joy. He will kill every awesome thought that you had. That thought of, oh, I'm going to do this for the church, or I'm really going to go visit somebody today. Nope, I'm too tired. And he'll destroy anything that you ever had, emotion-wise. I'm not saying physically. I think it'll go to physical, but it'll bother you more on the inside. And what do we do with stuff that's on the inside? Comes out. You can't hide that stuff forever. That negative spirit that you have inside of you is going to come out. We have to stand up and be that better person because we, at one day, will be sitting at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me ask you today, church, what are you going to do? What will you do? Let us pray. Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity today to be in your house. Lord, we just love you so much. Lord, I know that anger has built up. Lord, I know that each and every one of us has dealt with a situation that we need to get rid of. Lord, I know that this message today has hit every one of us. My toes are hurting included. I want to tell you today, Lord, that we need to release it, that we want to release it, that we're not going to keep all this. Do not leave here today and keep this anger inside. There is something that we need to release. There is something that we need to let go of. There is something that is bothering us today. Don't leave here if you're that person. Don't leave here without releasing that anger, without releasing that demon inside of you and allowing it to go, allowing it to leave you, allowing you to have peace, joy, and happiness like the love of Christ. As we should love like Him, we can't when the anger is bottled up inside. I just pray today that if anybody is dealing with that today, that you do not leave here today until you take care of it. We love you and we praise you. Amen.